Amen. If you would, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read a very familiar portion of Scripture. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Everybody say, don't worry about it. In Philly, they'd say, forget about it. All right. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm going to focus on the beginning of this scripture. Be careful or worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer. Amen. Why don't you look at your neighbor and tell him you need to pray through. I could start some trouble right there. Oh, look at somebody else and say, I need to pray through. That's safer, isn't it? Some of you didn't know what to do with that. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us here today. Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for what I feel in this house. I thank you for the strength that you've given me. Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch us here today, that you would touch my body, that you would touch this church. God, that you would anoint this house, Lord Jesus, and make it a house of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't we go down worshiping and praising God? Amen. Let's clap our hands. Hallelujah. We worry about nothing. What, don't you wish that was true? The Bible says, don't worry about it. Pray about it. Amen. I want to preach just for a few moments here today on this simple thought of pray through. We need to pray through. We're on a journey. And that journey is taking us to heaven. And on that journey, we're going to have ups and downs. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have disappointments. And we're going to have celebration. We're going to have good times and then some times we don't call good. In God, it's all good. It just don't look too good. It don't feel too good at the time. Amen. But we deal with these things in our life and life just goes on. And sometimes things happen because we sin. Sometimes things happen because somebody else sinned. Sometimes things go wrong because somebody all the way across the world is out of line with God and causes pressure and puts things on people that they didn't ask for nor did they deserve. And we live in this kind of a world and all of these things go on around us and it just seems like today there's just this swirling, ever-present issue that just keeps coming around. Our country basically has suffered three major hurricanes between the continental United States, Puerto Rico, and some of our territories around the Caribbean. And we know that there's a tremendous amount of suffering. Amen. I know that some of us have family that maybe we haven't even heard from in Puerto Rico. I just talked to Brother Jose as I came in, and he did finally hear from his family, and we are gracious and grateful for that. I don't know. I know Brother Eli has family there, still has not heard from them. And these things wear on us. You know, this is home. This is us. This is where we live. And, you know, it seems so far from you until it happens to your family, and you can't get a hold of your brother. Or you can't get a hold of your father. And we try to be positive and we try to believe, and I think we should. Amen. And I believe that's what we're doing. But it's weight. It's a weight. It's something you don't want to deal with. And then sometimes we have things that we deal with because we started it. We have baggage because we sinned. We did something wrong. We did something against God. Either we knew that we were doing it, or we didn't know we were doing it, but here we are. And so we deal with this. We have pressure and we have tribulation and we have trial because of something that we did. And then we have pressure and trial and tribulation because something that we didn't do. Maybe hell has just attacked us and is just pouring on the heat. And there is no logical reason in our mind why this is going on. Why is this happening? And we ask that question sometimes. Sometimes we know better than to ask why, because we know why. And sometimes we don't know why. We say, God, why is this happening? Why? I serve you and I try to be faithful to God and faithful to the church, and I give and I do what you ask me to do, and my family lives for you. But there's these things that are just pressing against my life, and it's just pressure. And why did that fall through? And why do I have to be disappointed? And why, as a child of God, can't I have this? This is not an evil thing. It's not a wicked thing. Why won't you release me from this? We are told to pray through. The Bible teaches us to pray through. Now, that's a phrase that we as apostolics have come up with, and it's kind of marketed that phrase. And if you've been around a long time, you know what pray through means. It means to get to the altar and bust through that thing that's oppressing you, to get past that sin that you put on yourself, and you get through that thing and you give it to God and you have that breakthrough. Amen. And we need that. We need that kind of praying through. If you've never received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, not as I say it, not as Life Point says it, but as the Word of God says it. If you've never experienced that, you can experience that, but you're going to have to pray through. You're going to have to pray through. What does that mean? You know, sometimes when you grow up in this, I've been in a church since I was in first grade. I've heard this all my life. I know what it means. But sometimes as a preacher, I preach things and I say things, and there's people in the congregation who are like, what is he talking about? What is pray through? Pray through our pride. We got to push through. We got to get beyond our self-consciousness. We got to get beyond how we feel like we're going to look. We got to get beyond, this doesn't make sense. It's not going to make sense because it's a God thing. It's not going to make sense to our human minds. But I promise you, when you pray through and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you will never have a doubt again. You will never doubt it again, because it is real and it is powerful and it is something that we need. Hebrews 11:13. It's kind of wrapping up a portion of scripture that we call the Hall of Faith. And these all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Their understanding that we are passing through, that we are going through, that there is issues all around us. And as we are on this path to heaven, we're going to be inflicted and conflicted, and we're going to be resisted by the devil and all of these things. And we just need to understand this simple, simple concept. There's only one way to get through, and that's pray through. There's one way to get through this, and that is to pray through. Prayer is not a popular subject because it seems so pointless. Just be honest. It's like you're talking to the air. I don't know how you pray, but I come here a lot of times. Most of the time I come here to pray. I've done that since I was 12 years old. I used to walk to the church and pray. Just how I got started. I came up in a praying home. My mom was a praying woman. My aunt was praying, and we went through hard times together. And I learned that just as a child, even at 9 and younger, the things that we went through is when I was young is we don't know what to do, so we went to pray. There was nothing else we could do. We tried, we did all we could, and it didn't work, so we just went and we prayed. And I remember coming out of prayer meetings of just my family at the church. We'd go and we'd have a prayer meeting. And my aunts and my mom and some other people that were dealing with some similar situations would meet with us, and we would pray. And I can remember just being a child in between the pews and just hearing people call out to God, and it got a hold of me. Something happened in my soul. And so I said, you know what? This must be where it is. I can remember times when my mom was at the church praying, and we stayed to watch the twins as they were just little babies. And I would have a prayer meeting in our living room at 12 years old all by myself. because I understood I got to pray about this. I didn't even know necessarily why. I was just taught this. But I promise you, it works. Prayer can do things you couldn't do in all your skill, all your effort, and all your time. Prayer gets it done. Prayer is where it's at. We struggle with praying, and we don't pray because the devil knows how important it is that we don't pray. So he interferes with your prayer. Everything else becomes important. We've made jokes about it and all that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. But we need to pray through. There's only one path through some of these things. And we need that. And it's got to be in our minds and our hearts. I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to pray through. I'm going to pray through this problem. I'm going to pray through this trial. If it takes 3 years, then I'm going to pray 3 years. But I'm going to pray all the way through until I come out the other side. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to call on God. God's my only hope. He's the only one that can do anything about it anyway. So I'm going to pray through. I don't mean to be confrontational, but it's pray through or stay there. That's your choices. You know, I get into a long tunnel and you stop halfway through. You're never going to see light. You say, well, I can't tell any difference if I'm moving or stopping. But if you keep moving, you will tell eventually. Because eventually you will come out. You say, I don't feel like doing this anymore. Well, I sure don't want to live here. I don't want to stay in the middle of it. So I'm just going to buckle down and pray through. Amen. I don't want to live here. I don't want to die here. So I'm going to pray through. I believe prayer works. It does work. These people, this scripture was talking about, saw some things. They struggled against pressure. All the things that could come against them and push on their life. And, you know, they went through some horrific things. But they learned to pray through, to believe that God is going to do it. Some of them, it said, they all died without seeing the end result of the promise. They were given some big promises. Sometimes we're given promises that are bigger than us. They're bigger than our life. But that's the wonderful thing about God. You know, I got thinking, I don't want to get too much into this because I know there's a time and place for this message, but we never really know how much effect we've had on people's souls until Jesus comes back. We would like to say it's because my life has ended and that's the end of my effect, but it is not, because it goes on and on and on. When you pray through, it carries sometimes for generations. It goes down 2 and 3 and 4 generations. It affects things that are far in the future that you don't even realize are coming. Oh, parents, we need to pray for our children. You need to pray them through school. Well, they're big boy, big girl now. They're in college. You better pray them through college. Because they're going to pick up more garbage in college than they did in school. Well, they're on their own now. I don't know. I guess you never stop being a parent. I was hoping all the diapers and changed and all the, I'm embarrassing to death up here, bottles being fed and Gerber baby food, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. Man, I thought I was almost done when we hit stage 3. And they go in to get married and they move out, thinking, well, that's good. That's over. No, it's not. I pray more for them now than I think I did then. I have less influence than I did then. I'm hoping what I taught them sticks. I hope they know better than what I taught them. But you know, I spend a lot of time praying for my kids. Every single day, God, touch my child. Touch my children. You know, and I don't even, this is just me. I don't break it up. I now have 3 sons and 3 daughters. That's just how I look at it. Rick got upset with me the other day because I said something about my sons. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. I had that all to myself. I said, not anymore. I got Willie's son. I'm already counting Justin. Don't even think about backing out, buddy. Amen. I'll come get you. Hallelujah. God has blessed me. He's added to my family. He's also added to my prayer list. I pray for you. I ask God to bless your life. I call your name out in prayer. God, touch them. Help them through this hard time. Touch their family down in Puerto Rico. You think it doesn't matter? It matters. We pray for you. You pray for you. You pray for others. I need you to pray for me. I need you to help me pray through. I'm going to help you pray through. Together, we're going to pray through. We're going to get there. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Didn't care about anybody. He just took care of number one. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, say for a while. Sometimes we're going to be in it for a while. He would not for a while. Amen. I'm going to drive my Krista nuts. She can't even stand the sound of windshield wipers or blinkers in the car. She doesn't like repetitive noise. You know something? This unjust judge didn't like it either. Because that lady just kept coming back and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. He didn't want to help her because he didn't care about her. He didn't want to do anything for her because she didn't mean anything to him. He did something for her and avenged her, took care of her problem because she bugged him to death. What the Bible says. He would not for a while, but after a while within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. I don't fear God. I don't care about man. Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she's wearing me out. That's what he said. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? We don't like it when God bears long. We like it when God bears long with our sin and when God is gracious and his mercy is constantly bearing long with us. But we don't like it when God bears long with our knocking. We want God to answer now. We want an answer today. God, don't you know that that was due this week? God, don't you know that I had to have that right now? God, don't you understand that we live by time down here? There are no clocks in heaven. God does not get up by an alarm clock nor go to sleep when it gets too late at night. Amen. He doesn't work off time. We work off time. God works off of God. And God is going to answer, but he's going to answer if we pray through, if we continue to knock, if we continue to pray, if we won't let up. What does that mean? Why? Why does God do that? I have to think that it has something to do with the fact that we are proving to ourselves and to God that we acknowledge that he is the only place we can go. You know, I've gone out and knocked on some doors. I've tried to sell stuff. When I was a kid, we sold everything from ink pens to light bulbs. I don't know if they could put it in a package. We sold it. Trying to pay for the church, pay for the school. We sold everything. And I was just one of them eager beavers. Man, I'd get out there for hours. And I'd knock on doors and try to sell people all this nonsense. Because it was a competition. And there was a prize at the end. And I wanted to win. But if I knocked on the door and nobody answered, what did I do? I went to the next door. There is no next door. And when we stay at that door and we keep knocking, we're telling God we're not going anywhere. There's no place to go. There is no other God. There is nobody else that can help me. There is no other option. You see, we're used to options. We're Americans. We can choose from 50 different doctors. We can go to 10 different grocery stores. We can have, when you go to the grocery store, you don't just buy beans. There's 15 different flavors of beans and 12 brands. It's overwhelming. My favorite brand is the brand that's on sale that week. Hallelujah. Amen. That's my favorite brand. I think I'm with most of you. Hallelujah. Amen. We can't go anywhere else but God. And I think sometimes he just says, well, let's see if they're going to go try something else. Let's see if they're going to try to come up with their own plan. I want to see how much they trust me. I want to see if they really believe that I'm the only one that can do it. He'll put us in those places. He'll allow those to come, and we just got to keep knocking. We can't just pray once and say, well, God must not going to be doing it. No, we just keep praying. You got a lost husband? Keep praying. You got a lost wife? Keep praying. Amen. Your kids are all mixed up? Keep praying. Keep praying. You got to pray all the way through. We like this next scripture, 18 and verse 8. And I tell you that he will avenge speedily. Now, we just said he was barren long. But when he's done barren long, it don't take God all day to do it. He could have done it the first day. He's not out there trying to find a way. He is the way. It's not about Kenny, it's about Winnie. I just made that up. You like that? I'm a poet and didn't know it. Hallelujah. I'm not feeling too good today, so I'm dangerous. Amen. It's not can God, it's when will God. When will God? God can. God can do anything. We get mixed up with this pray through, and we think it said pry through. And we get our crowbar out, and we're working an angle. And we try to get something wedged under this and try to move that boulder out of our life. And we're prying, and we're sweating, and we're working, and we're fretting, and we're carrying on, killing ourselves, working ourselves all to a frazzle, just can't hardly stand the pressure, just about ready to blow up. And all the time, all we had to do was pray through instead of pry through. We pry into how God's going to do it. Well, how are you going to do it, God? I feel better if you just tell me how you're going to do it. Then we get an idea. We think it's God. And we say, well, he's going to do it this way. And this has got to be how it's going to come. And this is it. This is the answer. This is it. And then it doesn't happen that way. And we get all upset. And we get offended. And we get all worked up. When all the time, all we're supposed to do is pray. And he does. You pray, he works. You pray, he delivers. You pray, he heals. You pray, he provides. That's how it works. We pray, he does. We get all wore out trying to do it for ourselves. We work ourselves to the bone sometimes. And you know, I'm not going to waste a lot of time on disclaimers. We got to live for God. Sometimes we're not getting it because we just aren't getting it. And if you don't apply biblical principle, I don't know. You can pray all day long for financial blessing, but if you can't handle money according to the Bible, he's going to bless you, but you ain't going to know it because it's going to run right back out the holes in your bag. So you're going to be frustrated. Why isn't God blessing me? I'm trying, but you're not listening to me. I'm trying to help you, but you're not paying the attention. It's just running right back out again. If you listen to me, and then I can bless you. You know, we can work against ourselves. But I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about we're doing it right. We're applying ourselves. We're doing our best. We're living for God. But sometimes he just doesn't answer on the first day. Sometimes he doesn't answer in the first week. Sometimes he takes a month. Sometimes he takes a year. Sometimes he takes 2 years, 3 years. Sometimes he takes 20 years. And I don't know exactly why, but he's God. But when you don't know why, you don't have to pry. Just pray. We spend too much energy asking why instead of saying, God, I trust you. I trust you. I'm going to tell you what happens. When you pray through something that takes years, how many of you are glad that God takes years? Nobody wants God to take years. I'm glad He does it, but that's not what we want. And when God takes years, and we pray through, and we hold fast, I'm not saying we don't get weak. I'm not saying we don't go down. But I'm saying we keep getting up. And I'm not saying we don't ever fall off that wagon a little bit, but we get back on because we know that's my hope. I tried this. I tried that. We went here. We went there. We asked this expert. We asked that expert. Nobody can help me. Ever, all I see is roadblock, 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 roadblock. When you got a real issue that you have to get taken care of, roadblocks are frustrating. You're trying to get someplace and they got all the roads closed like last Sunday. Trying to get to church, you can't get there. You got to drive halfway around the world. That's frustrating. It is. In real life, it's more frustrating. But when you get through and you pray through that problem, whatever it is, however much time it is, but I promise you this, the longer it is, the longer it stays with you. And the Bible tells us that it is a shield of faith that protects us from hell. And I have just come to the realization that that shield of faith is built out of the thing that God did for you that you had to pray through. So you reach back and you grab a hold of that miracle that God finally came through and you pull it around in front of you and you say, devil, you can pour it on, but I'm behind this shield of faith. And if God did it last time, He's going to do it this time. And I may be feeling pressure, but I'm coming through. I know how to do this. I've been here before. I prayed through before. I'm going to pray through again. I may have fallen, but I'm going to pray back through. I may be weak, but I'm going to pray back through. I may be going through it, but I'm going to pray back through. Devil don't want you to pray back through. He fights people getting the Holy Ghost. He don't want you to pray through. He knows how dangerous you can be with the Holy Ghost. When you fall and you sin and you make a mistake, the devil's on your back telling you you're no good, you're done, you just quit, you're out of here. Some people backslide. Oh, you can't ever go back to church. They're going to talk about you. He's a liar. I am happy and I rejoice when a backslider comes through these doors and prays back through. That's what the church is for. Come on. That's what it's all about. Devil tells you can't do it. You can't get up. You can't. You just pray back through. Pray back through. Maybe you messed up this week. Maybe you really did something bad this week and you're feeling conviction and now it's even shifting over to condemnation and the devil's trying to beat you with it. You know, you just need to pray back through. God, I'm going to get this off my back. I sinned. Can't you say that? God, I sinned. I need you to wash me and forgive me. My goodness. It's like a flood of love that just... Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Aren't you glad that God is gracious? Aren't you glad that God is loving? Aren't you happy and excited that Jesus forgives? But you got to pray back through. You got to pray back through. Let's stand together. I didn't think I was going to be long. I ain't ever had anybody complain that I preach short. Let's close our eyes all over this sanctuary. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel like God is in this house. I feel like there's some people here that need to pray back through. Maybe you have sin and you need to get it straight with God. This is what the altar's for. There's no shame in it. Just get it right. Maybe you've never received the Holy Ghost. You need to pray through. Oh, you need to pray through. Maybe you're just going through a long trial. Maybe it's a long dry spot. You say, Pastor, I've been trying to pray, but I'm not feeling anything. I'm not hearing anything. None of that was promised. He just said, pray through. Pray through. Oh, Jesus, I feel you so heavy in this place. Can you just lift your hands all over this congregation? Can you just lift your hands and begin to praise God with your voice in your way? God, using your words, just tell Him how much you love Him. Just begin to worship Him. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Ask God to wash you and cleanse you. Ask God to sweep in and encourage you. Oh, but can we all over this congregation, can we begin to pray through? Could somebody let the Spirit take over and begin to pray in the Spirit? Oh, can you let the Holy Ghost minister to you right now? Hallelujah. 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 Let God encourage you today. Let the Holy Ghost minister to you today. Jesus, in your name. Oh, hallelujah. This altar is open. Why don't we gather together and pray through together? Why don't we come and just begin to praise God and magnify Him? God, wash me, cleanse me, Jesus, help me. God, but I need to pray through. I want the Holy Ghost to roll through me again. Oh, I want to be refilled with the Spirit today. God, touch me. Hallelujah, hallelujah.